Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? You got to bear with me for just a second. There's an attack going on here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over this church and over me. As an act of obedience, I break off every spell, vex, hex, every word curse, every prayer that is not of the Holy Spirit. I break it off of me in this church in the name of Jesus. I command it to go back to the sender. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your protection. We thank you for the covenant we have with you, and we thank you for the salvation of Christ. We hold the power of the blood and the power of the cross over these people that are saying these things. We command them in the name of Jesus to cease and desist in their operations against this body. I thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now we can take communion. Sometimes when I can feel these attacks in the spirit, and I know when I'm not talking right and things aren't right, there's an attack. So Paul said that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So if there's that, then there's got to be an anti. So if we know that if we don't discern the body of Christ, we expect to be sick. But if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect health and wholeness in our bodies. God gave us specific directions on how to make this bread for the communion. It's called matzah bread. And it's a wafer. And it's made without yeast. The first step in discerning Jesus' body is to understand that he was without sin. He identified with us. And he took our sins upon him so that we could take his life in us. Also, this bread has been beaten flat. He was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has been pierced. Certainly when Jesus was on the cross, the Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side. But also, before that, he had been pierced in his hands, in his feet. He had been pierced in his forehead. And everywhere he shed his blood, we got redemption in some area. Also, there's stripes in this bread, and it's by his stripes we were healed. And if you'll look, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. Because he did that, because he took our place, we can take his. And his body was broken. And we're taking this for our health and wholeness. We thank you for it. Jesus shed his blood. He did not spill his blood. Don't ever listen to anybody try to tell you that he spilled his blood. That would be an accident. He shed his blood on purpose. Not only did his blood wash away our sins, but we have protection through his blood. The blood of Jesus seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And now we are in right standing with the Father, not because of anything we did, but because of what he did. Now, as he is, so are we in this world. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't communion a whole lot funner when you take man's tradition out of it and you release your faith in it? You receive the benefits of it. Besides that, I don't know about y'all, but those little rice wafers they used to send out with the little cups of grape juice, Those rice wafers, they don't taste nothing nearly as good as the matzo bread. Wow. Well, we do have children's church today. If you want to go to children's church with Miss Connie. All right. She's right back here. Well, today, usually I teach, but today I'm preaching. So if you would open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us. He showed us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. Father, we thank you for your written word that you have given unto us we can build our lives on. Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus did for us in his death, his burial, and resurrection, all through his passion. He had us on his mind, and we want to receive all the benefits of this. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to know something? You're blessed beyond measure because somebody took a nap. You think I'm joking? Look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 12. Be patient with me. I don't preach out of this Bible very often because it's the, I believe it was the one of the last Bibles that Glenn Smith Ministries gave out, and it's pretty personal to me. So, but Genesis chapter 15, verse 12 says, "When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him." Now, go down to verse 17. It came to pass. That when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." So, Abram at that time, he cut a covenant with God. But see, and the deal is, we'll get into this, but the deal is they cut these pieces down the middle, these animals down the middle, and then they'd walk around in this mess. You know, if you walked around in that mess, he was responsible for keeping the covenant. But Abram, he got laid off into a deep sleep. And that smoking pot and that furnace was God the Father and our Lord Jesus walking in that covenant. It's a good thing, because if Abraham would have got down in that mess, he had messed it up. But Jesus, he did it perfectly. Now, one of the things about our Christian life is faith. You know, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Did you know that? But the very first thing you're going to have to learn how to do is to sit by faith. You can't crawl, you can't walk, you can't do anything until you first learn how to sit by faith. Now, I got a question for you. You know, if you was an employer and you found your hands sitting down all the time, what would you do? You'd have to fire them because they're not working, right? But the Bible tells us that you have been seated in Christ at the right hand of God. That means you're sitting down. I mean, you're not working. you're chilling. Amen? Did you know something? You can't earn anything from God. To move in the faith realm, we must first learn to sit. Sitting is a position of relaxation, totally resting on something to hold one up before we can do anything else effectively in Christ. We must first sit, rest in and rely upon Jesus, His Word, and who He says we are. We must understand that our salvation, get hold of this now, this would stop some church fights. Get hold of this. We are saved. When you get born again, you're saved. You're going to heaven. We're being saved. And we will be saved. Salvation. You got to get it out. Get that. You know, we got this mentality of born again. And it's important to be born again. But we need to preach salvation. Salvation. That means everything a man needs. Health, healing, wholeness, prosperity. Everything you need is wrapped up in salvation. You know, we think we know so much. But when God would tell, He started talking to Hebrews about this salvation. And the thing about salvation, the Hebrew language is it's a picture language. So He'd say salvation to these guys, and they get this whole great big picture of what salvation meant. And it takes something like 29 English words to describe that one word. You think you're going to get it all in one translation? No. Well, we need to preach salvation. We are saved. We were saved. We are presently being saved, and we will be saved. We must understand that our salvation did not in any way originate with us. We must attempt to understand the enormity of the operation of God the Father in our lives that came about the day we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. You know, sometimes to understand what's going on in the present, we have to understand what happened in the beginning. So go to Genesis chapter 15. God had set His program in motion with Adam in the garden. And He said, this is the way I want things to be done. This is how He had His plan. And Adam sinned. He ate of that fruit and he sinned and he got kicked out of the garden. And man was cut off from God. God had to get away to get back in contact with His creation. The way He wanted it was a one-on-one personal relationship with us. He had that with Adam. Evidently, Adam would walk with God in the cool of the morning. And God had so much confidence in Adam that He named all the animals of the world. And you can't find anywhere in Scripture where God ever changed the name of one of those animals. And He gave Adam dominion over this earth. Think about that for a minute. He gave Adam dominion over this earth. When he sinned, that dominion got transferred to Satan. So why didn't God just go down there and take it back away from Satan? Because God is a judicial God. He gave that to Adam. Adam gave it to Satan. So now the whole human race, the blood of the whole human race was corrupt from that point forward. God had to find a legal way to do this. He found a man called Abram, and he told him to leave his home, leave his brethren behind, and leave his home. God is a good God. Abram, he did pack up and leave, but he brought his nephew Lot with him. Caused him some problems. But God dealt with him. Sometimes people believe that if they make a mistake, that God's just going to put them off to the side. You know, there's a teaching about falling from grace, and it needs to stop. It needs to stop immediately. There's people think that they have fallen from grace because they did some sin. You know, the Bible tells us that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. If anything, you fall into grace. That does not give you a license to sin. That's stupid. You know better than that anyway. But God cut a covenant with a man. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So, Abram at that time had this concern. He said, You've promised me this thing. You know, you told me, look up in the stars. But he said, How am I going to know this is going to happen? He was looking for something. See, Abram didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a word of God to stand on. God gave him his word. Right here. And it was a blood covenant. See, this Western mentality has to go. Because we've got this attitude in America where you make a contract and you sign these contracts. And there's an attitude that says, well, these contracts are made to be broken. But in covenant land, when you cut a covenant with somebody, it was to death. You were bound to this person, not only for life, but your seed was bound to this covenant for generation after generation after generation. It was a never-ending thing. That's where we get these wedding rings, these circles. It's a never-ending circle. Now, when these guys walked around in these bloody pieces, we'll go read down here a little bit. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? He was looking for something to sink his teeth into. He said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That happened. That happened. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were held captive for 400 years. They served them. Also, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. That happened too. All those plagues coming down on Egypt, all their children, the firstborn of their children and the firstborn of their cattle died. And they got so miserable that they were asking the Jewish people to leave. Said, here, take this gold, take this silver, take this treasure, take whatever we got, and get, just go. They left with great substance. You want to know another curious thing? That night, they each sacrificed a lamb or a kid, and they put blood on the doorpost and on the header, and then they went and ate unleavened bread. And the angel of darkness came over that place, and it didn't touch any of them that were under the blood. But here's another really cool thing. When they left Egypt, there were millions of them, you know, and they had been through years and years and years of hard work, treacherous living. They weren't getting enough to eat. They were being overworked. They were overburdened. So you know there had to be some of them that were sick, some of them that were crippled. They had been beaten. You had to know there was some people that weren't in the best living conditions. Their health had to be terrible. But the Bible tells us that when they left there, there was none feeble among them. That's salvation. He brought them out. There were none feeble among them. Now let's get back over here where I am. I never know what's going to happen when I go to preaching. I never know what's going to happen. Somebody asked me, said, what are you going to preach on this week? I don't know. A lot of ministers asked me that. Said, what are you going to preach on this week? I have no idea. So, well, I got to study for a week. Well, I don't know. The Bible tells us to be ready in season and out of season. And I think some of them got to wait until the home office in Fort Worth sends them a fax so they can figure out what notes they're going to preach on. I'm not sure. Anyway, he left with great substance. And verse 15 says, Thou shalt go to thy father in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. He lived to be 120 years old. Maybe more. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Sometimes people get confused about this. That's for the Jews. Remember, he said, unto thy seed, right there. said, unto thy seed have I given this land. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And we'll just kick that religious cow right in the butt, right on out the door. So that we know just exactly where we stand in this thing. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says, if you be Christ. Now, if you're born again, you belong to Christ. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That pretty much settles it right there. Don't it? You're born again. You're Christ, you're Abraham's seed, and you're heirs according to the promise. Well, what did Abraham have? You know one thing, after the slaughter of the kings, after that battle, you know, when Lot got in trouble and Abram went out there and got him back and took care of business, Melchizedek showed up. And he said, blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? That's what you fell heir to. Heaven and earth. That pretty much covers it. Everything. Well, the Bible does tell us that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. You've been blessed. You've been blessed beyond measure. Amen? All right. Carry on with our adventure here. You know, when thinking about these things, there was two people on crosses, one on each side of Jesus. And one of them was railing at him, and the other one, he said, Jesus, remember me. He said, Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Now, he couldn't go to heaven at that time because heaven, the way to heaven hadn't been prepared. You know, Jesus had to make the way. He had to go up there with his blood. He had to make the way. He had some cleaning out to do. Did you know the devil had access to heaven? He did. He used to. Not anymore. People preach out of Job. And they say, well, the devil is always at the throne of God, accusing the brethren. He used to be in the old covenant before Jesus. He had access to the throne room of God. Why? Because he took our place. He took Adam's place. Adam had place with God before he sinned. And when he sinned, he handed that over to Satan. So Satan could go into the presence of God, but man couldn't. Can you imagine how irritating that was for God? But when Jesus took our place on the cross, he went and cleansed the Holy of Holies, and the devil doesn't get to go there no more ever again. But we do. We get to go boldly into the presence of God because of the shed blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, the thing about the guy on the cross, you know, his hands were nailed to the cross too. And his feet were too. This guy couldn't do one thing to save himself. All he could do is call on Jesus. You know something? That guy, he never read the Bible. That'll get you in trouble in some circles. You know something? He never got water baptized. That'll get you in trouble in some circles. He never got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He never spoke in tongues. I had a lady call me one time. She was born again. I witnessed to her while she was in jail. They let me in jail to go see her. And I witnessed to her. She got born again. And she got out of jail and she was going to church. And this pastor said, "You ain't going to heaven if you don't speak in tongues." And she called me crying. I said, "You believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life? And you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You're born again, you're going to heaven." I said, "But that pastor," I said, "I don't care. He's not a fire from the loins up and a fire from the loins down. He can't supersede the Word of God." So she got over it. You know that guy on the cross, he never paid tithes. That'll get you in trouble in some circles. He never did any of the things. He never did any of the things that so many people try to tie to salvation. But he did the one thing that God equates to salvation. He called on Jesus. The Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Amen? No matter how heinous they have been in their lifetime. You know, Hitler could have called on the name of the Lord Jesus. He could have. He could have repented and he said, "Man, I've been doing this all wrong. I'm sorry. Save me, Jesus." He could have been saved. You know, Paul, by all accounts, in our everyday vernacular, we'd have called him a terrorist. His job was Christian persecuting. That was what he did best. He had a great zeal for persecuting Christians. The Bible tells us that he was studying to be the high priest. He knew the law inside and out, but he didn't know God. He met him on the road to Damascus and he got knocked off his donkey and he looked up and said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "You're Lord." Jesus standing in front of him and said, "You are Lord." You know, he never asked God to forgive him at that point. But he repented. This causes a lot of problems in some circles. Because if you don't go into some room with some pastor and spend 6 hours going over your sins and repenting of these sins, as they call it, you can't be saved. That's not what repentance means. Repentance means you changed your mind about God. You did an about face, just like Paul did. He said, "You're Lord." That's what we do. You're Lord. Amen. This guy got in, he didn't do anything to earn it. The church world is infiltrated with this idea that you get saved by grace, and that's true. 100% true. You get saved by grace, but then they have these 10 things that you need to do to maintain your salvation. Yeah, these 6 things that if you don't do these 6 things, you can't be saved. Are you saved by grace? Or are you saved? Well, got the Galatians in trouble. Paul got after them big time. Said, "You guys started off in the Spirit, and now you think you're going to pick up the works of the law?" No, you're saved by grace. Now, all those things that that guy on the cross didn't do, those are good things to do, no doubt. Those are good things to do. Reading your Bible is a good thing to do. Praying is a good thing to do. Getting water baptized is a good thing to do. Getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a good thing to do. All these things are good things to do. Taking communion and tithing, giving and being a witness and going to the mission field. All these things are good things to do. They are not needful to salvation. They will add to your salvation. They will add to your life. And you'll be blessed in doing them. But you're going to heaven. You get born again, you're going to heaven. Amen? Period. Not because of anything you did, but because one man took a nap, and two men, God the Father, God the Son, walked through these carcasses. And then Jesus got on the cross and died for our sins. Amen? And because you're the seed of Abraham, you fell heir according to the promise. You just made it official when you said, Jesus, be my Lord. You know, back in covenant days when they were cutting these covenants, when a child, they didn't figure a guy got to be old enough to make decisions for himself until he got to be, I think he's 40 years old. Somewhere in there, 30, 40 years old. Then he could go to the covenant head and say, I want to be a part of this covenant. Or I don't want to be a part of this covenant. Whichever way he chose was the way it was. Today, people are no different. Now when they get to the age of accountability where they can decide for themselves one way or another, yes, I want Jesus to be my Lord. No, I don't want Jesus to be my Lord. It's their choice. Mama can't make it for them. Daddy can't make it for them. It's got to be their choice. Amen? But here's the thing. They're covered by that covenant until they get old enough to choose for themselves. That's why when these babies, when something happens to these babies, they go immediately to heaven. They go immediately to God. Amen? I don't care what kind of scoundrels mom and dad were. If they're not old enough to make the decision for themselves, they go immediately to heaven. Amen? We're about out of time. We better just stop there. We'll pick up here next Sunday. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us. We thank you, Father, that as we learn of him and we take his word into our hearts, we'll be able to live in faith the way you designed us to. Father, we thank you that we win, that the evil that's going on in the world, that all around the world, and the evil that's going on in Washington, D.C., will not prevail. The world cannot overtake the light. Darkness cannot overtake the light. They will be exposed. And we thank you, Father, that your kingdom is coming to this world. It will be established here. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have some snacks and coffee back here and fellowship. I invite everybody to come back here and visit a little bit, be a part of the family. Well, praise God.